time for Tassie time.
The work of a modern master. 200 for Ricky Ponting.
Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is what brings the back up. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star by an elected opponent.
But he says, ta-da on Bowtide. Some Bowtide brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back all right. He's making a mess of them. Bowtide, absolutely brilliant.
Richard for 10.
Steve Old. Andrew Mays filling in for Gareth Hall. Steve Old does join me from Tasmania. Steve, good morning to you.
Andrew, how are you, mate?
Going very well. Now, there just seems to be a real sense on the mainland here that this bid is finally getting some momentum behind it for a team, an AFL team that is, in Tasmania. Is that the sense on the Apple Isle as well?
Yeah, look, I do feel that. I think there's been a while where it seems to be pretty stable and not going very far, and I think a lot of people are getting frustrated, but it seems to be building up at the moment. And I think especially back off the back of the Bombers-Hawks game up at UTAS on the weekend, where they nearly had 15,000 people, great atmosphere, and you start getting people like David King writing articles talking about, does it really make sense to have a Gold Coast side? And you know, I think the talk's always been, can we afford a 19th licence in the league? And now it's starting to turn to say, do we really need a 19th team, or do we get rid of Gold Coast and bring Tassie in? And you know, realistically, we've all got our views on it and stuff, but Gold Coast is proving a headache for the AFL, and I think at some point they're going to have to announce that Tassie's going to have a team of some variety, and I think that pressure's only going to get stronger from now.
So it's dominated the news here, which is quite unique. I can only imagine what it's been like there every night and every day in the papers as well.
Mate, it's been a massive issue and been run for a long time down here. It just seems to be that it's the Tasmania pushing against the AFL, and obviously it's not going to be too far away that the Colin Carter report that's just been done is going to come out. There's some rumours floating around that within that report it's probably going to recommend Tasmania getting a side with a potential date for entry into the league to be put in as a benchmark at some point. So it really is starting to ramp up. And I think the AFL has to start taking seriously the Tassie market. I mean, you might know, Maisie, I'm part of the Jack Jumpers NBL
yep.
side that starts down here in October, and that is just gaining huge momentum. You've got sports like football/soccer, rugby, netball, hockey, all gaining momentum to get... I think the state's finally realised that there is markets for other sports to get Tasmania in national competitions. And we've said this for a long time. If the AFL wants to continually ignore Tasmania, then we'll simply take Tasmanian money into other sports. And I think there's a real growth for soccer, netball and a few of these other sports to get a Tassie side. And if the AFL don't hurry up and consider Tasmania a side, whether relocated or new, then they're just going to lose support in Tasmania, and they'll go to other sports.
Now, one of the great joys I've had as part of work is commentating the footy down at UTAS Stadium. And unfortunately, Steve, I haven't been able to get down there for the last 18 months or so because of the COVID restrictions. I haven't been allowed on a plane out of Victoria. So I am looking forward to getting back there very shortly. But you've got a very special guest for us as well who obviously enjoyed an amazing afternoon on Sunday.
Robert Gronewegen is going to talk to us. I mean, there's not many better footy people in Tassie, and I'll be interested to talk to him about his views on a Tassie team and stuff. But Gronner's runs UTAS Stadium and has done for a long time. He's obviously played AFL footy, he's played local footy, and as I said, there's probably not more knowledgeable AFL people in the state than him. So I'm going to be interested to see where he stands on a few things. And obviously, he would have been pretty excited with the Bombers-Hawks game last week. It was great to get UTAS Stadium near capacity, and I understand from some people I knew that went up, there was an unbelievable atmosphere. And you got to understand, Maisie, when we do get good games at Launceston or at Blunston Arena, the hype it causes around the state with people travelling up to Launceston from Hobart and the northwest coast, it just sends a vibe right through the whole of the state, and everyone benefits. So even if we don't get our own Tassie side for a while, the AFL has to seriously start giving us some decent fixture games. And it just shows if you give us decent games like the Bombers coming down, you will get the crowds. But if you keep giving us the same teams that don't drag a crowd in Melbourne, but they seem to think that we're going to drag one in Tasmania. We're not a stupid AFL state. We understand good and bad footy, and we understand popular sides, and we're not just going to fill seats that they can't fill in Victoria. They need to start giving us some decent games.
Robert joins us on the line now. Robert, good morning to you, and welcome to RSN.
Good morning, guys. Or is it afternoon? Is it tick
afternoon, sorry.
12 o'clock? Yeah, that's all right, mate. great to be on.
How special was Sunday and how important was it in the push for a Tasmanian team? I feel like it has really kickstarted momentum on the mainland here that we haven't ever felt before. How important was Sunday afternoon for not only UTAS Stadium, but also the state as a whole?
Yeah, well, it was kind of good timing. I mean, to really sort of bring us back down to earth a little bit. I mean, a 15,000 crowd is our COVID capacity. It wasn't our full capacity. And look, over the years, we've had many, many crowds bigger than that down here, you know, for Hawks games. But that said, the timing of this game and the inability to play it at the MCG and putting a big club like Essendon and playing Hawthorn in that traditional fixture down here, you know, the excitement and the, just the number of Bombers people who are down in Tassie honestly blew me away. And it was one of the loudest games we've had for a long time. So you can see where there's that real passion for people to support a club that they've supported all their lives. You know, and you bring them down here where they're on the doorstep, where Tassie, most Tassie people would barrack for a Melbourne AFL team. And yeah, that really showed, mate, in what was there. So in terms of the kick for an AFL team, look, I think it's the only way forward for us now in Tassie. We've played with North and Hawthorn, and it's been fantastic for us at the northern end of the state to have Hawthorn here. You know, they've had enormous success during their time here, won four premierships, been a, you know, just a fantastic side. But really, things are now at the stage where the formula is a little bit tired. And I wouldn't like to say, Oldie, that they're bad teams that come here. They're just not teams that have the same level of support, you know, as the traditional Melbourne clubs. So if a Freo or a Brisbane or a, you know, a Gold Coast or a GWS comes down here, you know, we're never going to get the support for those games, obviously, like we did on the weekend. And Tassie has its own team. You'll have your passionate Tasmanians following that team every week. And then if you add in the mix, you know, that they have to play all the big clubs down here at some stage, you know, it's really going to generate that excitement that we need. So,
and that's what you mean, mate. When I said bad, I probably meant bad as in bad from a Tassie footy public. But you're right, most Tasmanians support a Melbourne-based side, so they're not high-drawing crowds. But from your point of view, mate, we haven't had like a real good crowd and atmosphere like that for a long time in the games. Does it just show you as the man who runs the ground and knows it more that, you know, we do either need a Tassie side or we need to get a better draw, as in we need to get a few more of these big drawing Melbourne crowd Melbourne sides down to really invigorate? Because it must get frustrating for you running it, not seeing that ground at capacity.
Yeah, mate. And to be honest, it did remind me of the old days of when, you know, Hawthorn, you know, its first probably 10 years where, you know, every game just generated that level of excitement and people were on the phone trying to get tickets. And, you know, it was just a real buzz. And it felt like those old days, again, having Essendon come and play here. So, mate, and it's just sitting underneath the surface. We're a magnificently passionate state. We love our AFL. And, you know, I just think that, mate, this will give everyone a bit of a kick along and a bit of a reminder to say, hey, we really are a state that loves AFL. Please don't continue to ignore us. And it seems that, you know, with Colin Carter's report due, you've got the insights into what it's going to say. Oldie's better than the rest of us. Good on you, mate. So,
he
says like you wrote it.
Robert, thank you. Let's head back to Steve Old. I just wanted to touch base, Steve, in regards to the Colin Carter report. Obviously, there's a few rumours and recommendations that are floating around the footy world at the moment. But in your mind, what is the ideal scenario for Tasmania? Is it the creation of a 19th team so there's something to own? Or would a relocation be perhaps the option that might be leaning towards in that report?
Look, I think from a Tasmanian's perspective, I think Tasmanians would prefer to have their own new standalone team that they can own from the start and grasp, etc. But the reality of the situation also says to you that off the back of COVID and the financial and other issues that the AFL's gone through, I cannot actually see the 18 presidents of different teams suggesting that a 19th licence comes into it unless they started to consider putting Northern Territory a 20th licence. So all the things suggest to me that it would be a relocated side, but I think Tasmanians would much prefer having their own side. It's just interesting, I think, now that, you know, the talk of the Colin Carter report's getting louder, and the whispers out of it, but also now the heat's been put on Gold Coast in relation to the Gold Coast hold their licence, or does the AFL make the tough decision and pull that licence and bring it to Tasmania? It's just interesting that all these conversations are now coming up. And I look at it as a passionate football person, and I cannot logically see how the Gold Coast will ever survive and be a success story. I don't see many sports on the Gold Coast, separate to Brisbane, Gold Coast, that actually have been a success. They've had NBL basketball sides, rugby sides, etc. And I don't think any of them have ever hit the mark that those chosen sports have tried to do because of the mix of the population up there, the transit nature of it, etc. I just don't think the AFL side up there will ever be popular. But if they want to continue using the fact that it's a growing market and they want to get more kids playing AFL than rugby and all that sort of stuff, I can understand that. But when you talk financially and all that sort of stuff, I can't see why and how they can continue to ignore Tasmania ahead of a place like the Gold Coast. And as I said, if they don't, in the Colin Carter report and the club presidents make a decision on a Tasmanian side, I think Tasmanians will more and more start to step away from AFL footy and look at supporting sports that actually want to invest in Tasmania and give our young kids a pathway for their future in relation to the sport they choose to play, which is simply not there at the moment. And mate, AFL football at grassroots level, we can have a conversation about that for days. It is at a very much a poor situation at the moment, and I believe that the only way... I don't think AFL side in Tasmania is going to necessarily fix it, but I think there needs to be a whole report in relation to not only an AFL side, but what is the future of Tasmanian football at a local level, and how do the two work together to create better participation and growth in the sport.
Absolutely. Keep fighting the good fight, Steve. All the best. I know a lot of people in Melbourne would love to see a Tasmanian team and definitely be a destination. We'd love to get to and watch some footy at as well. I've been lucky enough to do it a number of times at UTAS Stadium, and it is fantastic viewing. Good luck, Steve, over the next couple of weeks. I suppose all of Tasmania start to get nervous as that report date release gets closer and closer.
Good to talk to you, mate.
It is time, though, to continue Tassie Time, and Pete Staples joins us on the line. Pete, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
Now, tell us about Barry Campbell. He's returning from a couple of years off for his ban. What's the latest with that situation?
Yeah, well, Barry got 2 years disqualification because he had a treated the horse outside of the restricted at time he could over in the Adelaide Cup, and he was guilty of that, so he had to spend 2 years in the wilderness, but it expired on the 21st, and he reapplied for his licence yesterday, and that'll just take the normal course, I would imagine. Could even be on Friday, they'll look at it, hopefully approve it, and he gets back to training, and well, he's a Hall of Famer. He's won every feature race in the state, and that was his only blemish on his career of 45 years. So, but anyway, it is what it is, and he is coming back. But he told me yesterday that he's just going to ease his way back. He's not going to make a big song and dance and, you know, get all these, you know, multiple, you know, huge stables. He looks after Star Thoroughbred's horses, and they'll leave Leanne Gaffney's stable and go back to him. So he's got some pretty good ones to come back into his yard, including Newhart, that is probably the favourite to win the Horse of the Year this season. Tassie, after he won the Devonport Cup for the second time, and weight for age races. So he's a pretty exciting, and DeRoche, the filly or now a mare, she's an exciting prospect, and he's pretty excited about those two in particular to get back to work with.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing him return to the training ranks. Now, just a bit of an update, too, on Chloe Wells, who has been a fantastic story. She had a fall last Sunday at Devonport. She broke her leg. What's the latest on her situation at the moment?
Yeah, she broke the femur in her left leg, which is the big bone above the knee. And because it was a long bone injury, took a long time to stabilise it. She did a double cartwheel once she came to the hit the turf, and it looked horrible. But she had a full body scan, and there's no other complications, so that's the bonus. But the operation was quite successful, from all reports, on Monday, and she'll be off for at least 4 months, I'd think.
So the recovery time's been set at around 4 months, or that's a bit of a loose recovery
time? No, that's a standard. That's a normal time expectancy for, you know, get back walking and moving around properly for a broken femur. But we don't know the depth of the break or whatever, but it was a clean break from all reports. So that's a good thing. We just hope that she can get back as soon as she can because she's such a talent.
Yeah, it's funny in those situations with broken legs. Often the clean break is a lot better to deal with and easier to deal with than the partial. So
the fractures, yeah.
Yeah, let's...
And
let's
footballers always hope for a clean break.
Yes.
Needed legs.
It does sound weird saying it, but let's hope for a quicker recovery than expected for Chloe as well. Now, you've got a horse today running at Cranbourne. Tell us about Bandinelli in race number 5.
Yeah, me and my wife have got a share in Bandinelli with three others. And, he's travelled over well. We took him over there in February for a race at Moonee Valley, but he didn't travel all that well. He tied up. Anyway, Siggy walked him out on the race morning and he wasn't happy with him, so we had to pull the pin. So that was a trip that was useless. But that's part of racing. He was, we slayed our horse. And he came back and he's in very good order. He's first up. He trialled him at Devonport 10 days ago, and nearly 2 weeks ago now. And he's in very good order. Ate everything up and drank everything up, and he's stationed not far from the Cranbourne track. So all things being well, if he can get out, and it gives us an idea today where he's at. So it's a big picture vision mission for us, and hopefully Siggy and Bandinelli can do the job. It's not an easy race, Bright Oaks horse, Twister Furies, plenty of money for it. It won two starts back, and there's good money for Pat Carey's mare, Sisters, that was impressive when he first up, and gets a 2 kilo claim, carries 52. So, there's a lot to like about a few others in the race. But hopefully we'll be able to make our presence felt.
$11 on fixed odds at tab.com.au, $3 the place. Maybe a nice each-way play to get us underway this afternoon as well. Pete, thanks so much for your time. Good luck this afternoon. We'll be cheering at home, hopefully, Bandinelli.
Good on you, Andrew. Duh.